Welcome back to A&K on the Runway. We are back for week three of Project Runway, and we are starting to see some people kind of emerge as favorites and some people who may just not have what it takes.
Yes, I think that's a theme of this week a little bit.
Right. Oddly enough, one of those people that definitely has emerged as a favorite is Erin. And this episode started off with her just kind of confiding within, I think it was Sarah and Kimber were also, Kimber was in the room as well. And Erin just kind of wants to stay humble, it seems like. She said she was almost afraid of feeling too confident at this point and didn't want her success to get to her head.
I can see that since it is so early. And one of the contestants' nickname is Lady Shade. So there's a lot of turmoil going on in the workroom at some time. So I can understand the idea of wanting to keep your head down a little bit.
Exactly.
So we got into the challenge pretty quickly this time around. Mm-hmm. And Heidi is loving it. Loving everything about this challenge.
For sure.
So Heidi and Tim show up on the runway. They turn off the lights. And a black light setting comes on. It's like a rave party in there. And the challenge is to create a day-to-night look with night as a black light. So it needs to have some sort of pop element to it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was inspired by Transitions Optical, which I thought was a weird product placement,
definitely.
By the way.
And they spent a really long time on this.
Yeah.
Like, it was legitimately like a commercial inside of the show.
It really was, because they had everyone at the wall of glasses and trying it on and talking mm-hmm. about it. Like a very, you could tell they paid a lot of money for this challenge.
Right. And like even went into how like Tim Gunn used it. Like,
right.
I go outside and I don't need to use
they
sunglasses.
Tim
and then
outside.
Now look, they're clear. Like, we know how transition lenses work, Tim.
Right. So the odd moment of the week. So everyone has one day and $200 to complete this challenge. And in the workroom, they've provided some UV materials, some seeming piping, it looked like, or some fabric
some tape,
and
some
paints,
some things like that.
And then everyone has a UV flashlight they can take with them to Mood so they can see what the fabric that they're choosing will look like in the black light. And the back room has been set up to be the black light, which was really bizarre to see them in the workroom going back and forth.
Right. I think pretty early on, it becomes clear that the contestants really seem to be struggling with how the black light changes the fabric and changes the colors. I think some people just really weren't grasping what the theme and concept of this challenge was.
Yeah.
They seem to just be like, oh, that kind of changes colors a little bit. I'll use that.
Right.
And it just didn't seem like that was what the judges were looking for in this competition.
And part of me thought, how is this high fashion? How is this a fashion competition challenge? It's different. I don't think I've ever seen it before in the history of Project Runway. But it also was just bizarre. Like, essentially, you're creating a rave or a club environment,
right,
to go into your night look. So it was a tall order, I'd say.
I liked it, though. I thought it was something very unique and something that definitely had the potential to see some very, very creative designs and some very cool effects with the clothes, with the black light, and to really kind of test the creativity of the contestants.
Sure. Did you have anything that you gleaned from the sketching time or the Mood shopping? I didn't have anything that jumped out at me.
Not really. In a competition like this, the sketches and the selection of fabric really isn't going to tell us a whole lot.
Yeah.
Because it's all about what happens when that black light hits it. And you can only do that. And you can only know that when you actually see it happen.
Right. I think this is a unique challenge, and they didn't spend a lot of time on the sketching and the early work part because there was so much on the back end of really getting in and creating these looks and how the black light affected the garments. And one of the issues that did stick out to me during the whole work process was how much focus was going into the night and the black light look versus the day look. Some For people sure. had, I thought, just missed the challenge
yeah.
as far as the day to night look. It was all about the black light for right. them.
And that's definitely something that we'll touch on a little bit later when we get into the runway portion.
So let's talk about the Tim Gunn critiques. Tim did talk to everyone this week. We are seeing, sometimes we see a lot of what some people are doing and then they really skip over for some other people, it seemed like.
Yeah.
So he started off with Aaron. And Tim said he was intrigued. Aaron was going for a demure day look into a sex bomb night look.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she hoped to have a lot of nipples on the runway, to which Tim said, well, I'm not a nipple guy.
Obviously. And I thought this was great. To start, I think Aaron took that whole transition concept an entire step further. Rather than, you know, something that the outfit changes, it changes the person that's wearing the outfit as well.
Right. So she, I think Tim really liked where she was going with it and it was, you know, kind of told her to carry on.
Right. Next we moved on to Kimber, and Kimber seems to be having a difficult time with her confidence. She found this kind of floral print that when she put the black light on it, some of the flowers changed colors, changed shades a little bit, and she really liked how that played in the black light. And so she put together this outfit with that plus kind of like a white across the body as well.
She's trying to color block.
Right. And so when Tim got there, he's just like, do you like this at all? And Kimber was like, no, I don't really at all. And so Tim was like, then don't do it. It kind of like she needed to be told that this was not what she wanted to be doing and she was going in the wrong direction.
She's one of many that got stuck on the fact that Heidi came out in an all-white outfit and that all-white outfit sort of popped on the runway in the black light.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
So I think people really took inspiration from that and honed in on that and they're like, oh, white. But they didn't do it well in the case of Kimber's first go. So she had to start over.
Yeah.
Then Tim talked to Cornelius. Cornelius is another one. He's similar to, and I'm blanking on his name. Who was out first? Ian. He's similar to Ian in that he does not like being told that his stuff is anything other than amazing. And so Tim responded that after Cornelius heard his critique, Cornelius had a look on his face like he had just had a bad piece of seafood.
Yeah.
Because Tim told him that he needed more shapes.
And he didn't really, wasn't doing much in the first place. He had just kind of this white dress and then like some, and I couldn't really understand what he was going to do with it. He had some sections kind of like taped off that he was going to paint in and then add more shapes around it, something like that.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't very clear on what he was even thinking.
I think he was going to try to use the UV paint and he was creating these geometric shapes on there, but he had them in very odd spots as far as where they were appearing on the garment. I think that's what Tim was trying to get at with him and telling him, like, this looks weird if you just have it in the center of her stomach.
Right.
Essentially. But, and, you know, I think Cornelius at first was really resistant to taking his critique and taking Tim's suggestions, but he did end up kind of changing that idea and scrapping the shapes.
Yeah. Next, we moved on to Sarah. I think she was just kind of very briefly touched on. She did have this fabric, though, that I don't know if it was something she did with the UV paint or that it was just naturally in there. But once she showed the black light on it, some hidden patterns kind of jumped out of that fabric. So I was very interested to see what she was going to do with that.
Yeah, Tim told her that she needed to kind of take up the volume a little bit. It was too ready to wear. So that was kind of his only critique. And he seemed to move past Alex pretty quickly. I didn't have anything for him. He moved to Dexter. And Tim had a similar critique as to what he told Sarah, and that Dexter really needed to take it further and really push the limits there.
And Dexter was another one of those people that really reacted to what Heidi was wearing because he was just going all white.
Yes.
Next, we moved on to Rick. Rick was at least straying away from what everybody else was doing. He had this, making this top out of kind of these cutout triangles, and they were like silvery.
Mm-hmm.
And he was hoping that was going to react with the black light different way. He was kind of said he wanted to make this kind of warrior woman in the day.
Mm-hmm. Tim said, if you're going to have this very strong top, you need to have an equally strong bottom. It can't be kind of a dud. So that was his challenge. And Rick was going with this up the center of that top was like a lace-up look with some neon string. So he was really going for it as far as the black light, it seemed like.
Yeah.
Then came Natalia's critique. And she was using some very, very bright neon colors. And Tim said it looked like a costume out of Tron, which I think is a movie.
Yep, it is.
Okay.
Good job.
Thanks. And I've never seen it. I didn't get the reference. Okay. And that this outfit needed some sophistication, which on a side note does seem to be a common theme of Tim's critiques of Natalia's outfits.
Yeah. I wasn't very impressed with this to start. It seemed way too day glow. It was very, very 80s, very bright, very neon pink.
Very neon.
And I mean, granted, that was going to react with the black light. It's just there need to be something more to that.
She was one that was not thinking about the daytime look.
Right.
Laurence came next, and there wasn't much of a critique for Laurence as far as I
didn't really understand what she was going for and what Tim, because Tim really liked what was going on with it. She had something like where the kind of like the outlines of it was white,
and he
was just like, oh, so the inside then like disappears in the black light, and so it's just that white outlines popping, and that's what Laurence was going for. But other than that, there wasn't much to it, and even the part that Tim thought was just going to disappear, I wasn't so sure that's how that was going to work.
Yeah, it was. She had a lot still left when Tim came to her.
Mm-hmm. Next, we have Robbery. Robbery was showing Tim his design in the blacklight room, and he said he got this fabric, and once he started cutting it, they were kind of had these frays that kind of hung out of the fabric. They happened to be neon orange, and so he showed Tim in the blacklight room that these frays and these threads really stood out in that dress.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim was very impressed with that. And he was like, oh, something you just kind of found out on accident. And now he's just going with it.
Mm-hmm. Tim was really impressed with that.
Mm-hmm.
Tim moved to Brick. Oof. Brick's critiques have not been going well. That seems to be a pretty common theme. And this one was no different. And Tim was very blunt. He said that Brick's look was not pretty. It was a weird shape because Brick was trying to do something architectural and he wasn't succeeding in that vision. And Tim said that Brick's concern needed to be staying in the competition, that, you know, this architectural look wasn't doing it and he needed to be worried.
Yeah, Tim definitely let Brick know he's on the chopping block. He's been in the bottom three the last two episodes.
Out of two,
and he very easily could have gone home at least last week.
Yeah, no kidding.
Next, we moved on to Ma Jing, and to kind of before we get to the critique, to preface this, earlier in the episode, we kind of got to know Ma Jing a little bit more. He says that he's here for his daughter and for his fiance. He said that they don't even call each other fiance, they refer to each other as husband and wife often because they've been together for something like 9 years. And so it was a very touching moment that I almost couldn't take seriously because Ma Jing starts crying very quickly And it's just not a very endearing cry.
Yeah.
It's a very, very odd cry. It's the Jenny's laugh of crying almost. It's just something that you're just like, oh, this is really sweet. Oh, he's crying now. That's his cry. That is what he goes with for his cry.
You can always tell who is either going to struggle or do well on the runway because they get a lot of camera time. They get a lot of backstory. Last week it was Linda. So I was concerned for Majing almost instantly when they were focusing on him.
Right. So back to his critique, Majing decided he wanted to try and make a wedding dress for his fiance,
yeah,
which was a really odd choice considering it was like a black light.
Yeah, he said it was something that he would make for her if they decided to get married at City Hall.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, sure. Again, I think he just got so focused on that white part.
Yeah, that, again, the white.
So Tim comes along and hates it. He says, don't even think about it. Just scrap this whole thing and move on.
Yes. Alex described it as a ill-fitted crime scene. So, and can I just say, like, I thought Alex was this sweet, really nice man, but he throws a lot of shade himself. And he's nice to everyone's face. I don't know.
I think it's just, it's not necessary. It's not Cornelius
right.
shade.
It's not
just
that level.
It's just zingers. It's just.
It is. He's calling it like he sees it.
Right. Cornelius just hates on everything, whereas yeah. Alex is just like, that's ugly.
And I think that Alex knows that the people can do better, where Cornelius is just like, oh, I'm threatened by you.
Right.
Sort of thing. So right. There's the difference a little bit. Tim then talks to Tasha, and he says that it's vibrant, but doesn't really transform. He was a little concerned it was a little one-dimensional and wouldn't have that day-to-night
right.
aspect.
Didn't really react with the black light at all.
Right.
And then he moves on to Jenny. Jenny is kind of struggling with what she wants to do.
She's struggling with her fabric and kind of putting it together. And she even said that at Mood, to where she didn't have a clear vision necessarily, but she was going to get kind of a multitude of different things and really make it work in the workroom.
Right.
Make it work.
So following the critiques, there are four people that have to essentially start over, scrap what they've done, and really come up with something kind of a complete 180. And those people are Kimber, Jenny, Brick, and Majing. So,
and to some extent, Cornelius.
That's true. That's fair. Like, he kind of had to rethink his concept a little bit. He may not have had to, like, undo scenes, but
right.
he had to think about that concept. So we really were following these four to five the rest of the episode to see, like, what they're coming up with. And Majing and Kimber really struggled up until the runway.
Yeah. And you really see some kind of Hail Mary desperation moves in this segment. Jenny has decided to use this kind of plastic jacket, almost like a clear raincoat.
It was like a rain
thing.
Jacket, yeah.
And I mean, especially with a black light challenge, that's not going to do anything at all. That's not going to react. She did start kind of putting paint, like these kind of like floral designs on there, like henna designs on this jacket with the neon paint.
Mm-hmm. It's puff paint, so
right.
It's essentially supposed to puff up and create this almost 3D, not necessarily 3D, but you're supposed to have some sort of dimension to that paint.
Right. And Cornelius decides he wants to incorporate emojis in his dress. Which, I mean, that was, right away I was just like, done.
I'm in the millennial generation, and I hate millennials.
Are you trying to say I'm not?
You are. We are of the millennial generation.
Okay.
I hate millennials like Cornelius. When he said, he's like, I'm just going to use smiley faces and with the UV paint. And so that in the day, it was supposed to be a plain white dress. And then, you know, with the UV light you get all these weird emojis.
Yeah.
And I thought it was funny that Alex said, well, aren't you going to use the poop emoji? Since that's so popular. So it kind of pointed out like the irony of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then Lady Cornelius from the Land of Shade emerged. And he had 4 to 5 outfits that he just could not wait to slam in front of everyone. And everyone's like, oh, there's Lady Cornelius. I'm like, oh, wow. He knows what he's about.
Right.
He's accepted that.
We are, I mean, in the real-time sense of this, less than a week into this competition.
Yes.
And already not making friends.
I don't imagine that they're going every single day. Like, there's a challenge every single day. And I get that there's the one day of work and then the next day is the runway. So maybe it's like a day off in between.
Right.
But this is a pretty concentrated.
I mean, but sometimes, like, you'll see, like, when they introduce the next challenge, the people are wearing the same outfits that they wore at the runway in the previous episode. Mm-hmm. So sometimes these are going, like, back to back to back.
Because it's not one challenge a week. That's definitely not the setup. So this is, the point is, he's not been there very long, and he's certainly made a reputation for himself.
Yeah. And unfortunately, things are going south very, very fast for Ma Jing.
Yeah.
He kind of started to get a little direction. He found like this kind of neon blue, almost rope type material.
Mm-hmm.
And he found like this kind of sparkly silvery rope like material. And he started to weave that together, thinking that in the light, the silver would pop out real more. And then in the black light, the blue is going to pop out more. And so he started weaving that together. He made this white dress, and he was putting the UV paint on it. And so that when it's in the light, when it's in the daytime, it doesn't show. But when it hits the black light, it'll really pop out.
He was kind of flinging the paint onto this dress like a Jackson Pollock. So it's just like a splatter everywhere.
Right. And so he goes and he uses a different kind of paint, kind of like a neon paint, to kind of take that same effect. But, and this is after the models have already been fitted and they are like, this is late day. I think this might be the very, very last adjustments before they go out onto the runway.
Mm-hmm.
And he notices that this paint, and it's something that he couldn't see in the blacklight room, bleeds through. And so now he has just these random stripes of paint.
Right, neon paint.
Don't look good at all.
So then he tries to go back and fix it and make it seem like there's some sort of reason and rhyme to these pink stripes. And it is unfortunate, that's for sure, because you can tell that there's really no time for him to do anything else except make it seem like it was purposeful. And then, you know, layer this weave of the blue and the silver rope material onto the dress. So he's definitely struggling. Jenny seems to be struggling in the time right before time's up on day one and the next day, because she comes back and that puff paint seems to have peeled a little bit from the clear plastic material of the jacket. So she's one that's really concerned if it's going to just fall off, you know, as the model is walking on the runway. Kimber seems to be having a little bit of trouble as well. Late in the day of day one, she decided to use the puff paint to paint over the flowers of the floral pattern that she's been using for this dress. And instead of
to kind of make it pop a little bit more in that black light.
Right. And instead of the paint sitting on top of and kind of puffing from the fabric, it sinks in and bleeds into the fabric, so it almost looks matte, I assume.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a little bit disastrous. She always seems to be like running around when they show her and trying to fix it. So it's another one to where she's like, you know what, I'll just keep putting more and more layers of paint on there and hoping that it really will pop on the runway. So there are several people that seem to be struggling or that we are wondering how it's going to turn out for them once the runway show happens.
Mm-hmm. So we move on to the runway and Cornelius is the first one out.
Wait, hold on though. Before we start with Cornelius, Jenny laughed for like 5 minutes straight before they started the runway show.
Yeah.
And this is the first time some of the judges have heard her laugh, and you can tell, again, like anyone that hears it, little concerned.
Right.
So, yes, Cornelius's look comes out first.
Hate it.
His first look is just kind of this simple white dress. And then once the black light comes on, you see the emoji faces that he has painted on there come out. And you could, they're all over the place. And it's something that, again, we said earlier, I didn't like the emoji. I thought it was really tacky.
Yeah.
And then, but the dress itself was very, very plain and conservative. It looked like something like a Mormon would wear.
I wrote down, any Duggar girl would wear this dress.
Yeah.
It's very, it's high neckline, puff sleeves to the elbows, mid-length. There's nothing remotely sexy or appealing about this dress.
Right.
It also makes me concerned that Cornelius does not know how to design and construct for a woman's body, because he had this weird excess of fabric right over the vagina, and it seemed to, what do you call that? It was like it could float in and out. What am I trying to say? It
pulsates almost.
It was just excess fabric that was weird there. And then when you get to the black light, he did really try to make these emojis pop, but he put a smiley face right over the vagina area. Like, I just think that he doesn't understand, like, the female anatomy.
Yeah. So next we get to Jenny. Jenny had a halter and a high waist short underneath her plastic raincoat.
I think it was all one piece under there.
Okay. And I'm not a fan of the plastic jacket. I thought it looked kind of dumb.
Yeah.
But the black light, the shorts and the top are this neon yellow, and it makes just this woman's hips and torso area look huge. Yeah. And very, very wide. And that's not a good look.
No, the problem is that the underneath, it's essentially a leotard. It's like a halter leotard with high cut brief shorts, though.
Yeah.
It's a vintage style swimsuit gone wrong,
right,
kind of underneath there. And so it is not great in the black light.
Yeah. And then the floral patterns that she puts on there, I thought they kind of are very concentrated down around the bottom of the jacket, around the knee area, and then don't really move up at all. And so in the black light, it just looks like this, almost like she's wearing a floral skirt, but everything stops at like the mid thigh. And so there's no design past that.
Right. And there's a little bit of the floral design on the shoulders. But again, right, everything else is very, it's empty and plain. Next, Alex's look came down the runway. And he was one of the ones, I think, that thought a lot about the daytime look. So he created a sleeveless knee-length dress. And it had a very unique neckline. He kind of had an asymmetrical neckline, and he used bright colors. He used teal and hot pink, and he kind of color blocked it. So the hot pink was down the sides of the dress, and the teal was coming down the center. And he used neon yellow shoes, so very highlighter-esque, but it looked clean, and it looked like something that someone would actually wear in the daytime. Unfortunately, it seemed like it didn't really pop in the black light. Like, it did change colors, and it right, didn't fall flat. You know, the neon really stuck out, but it wasn't, it didn't have much an effect at the time.
And even he said that it didn't do exactly what he wanted it to do. Yeah. Once it hit the black light, it essentially went from being that teal and pink to just being kind of a like a darker shade of blue and orange.
Yeah, it looks like a coral color.
And so it just kind of changed colors. That was about it.
Yeah, there wasn't anything like really special, I guess, about it.
Mm-hmm. So then Ma Jing's dress walked the runway, and it just doesn't look good at all. No. I mean, unfortunately for him, he just kind of ran into some things very late in the game that he could not fix. And it really showed on the runway. The paint kind of running through. I mean, the dress is okay in general. The cord thing that he tried to incorporate doesn't really work.
Yeah, it was all just
bad. And then once it hit the black light, it was just very, very sloppy and very, very random as to what was going on. And it's just really not a good look at all.
Those paint splatters that he tried to do that would be kind of random and cool and look like the galaxy or whatever, it did not look good. It looked like a forensic crime lab. And unfortunately, it seemed like the paint really came about in a circle right around her boobs. It looked really weird. Yeah. And the dress in the daylight and in the black light was very ugly. And I wrote down that he was definitely bottom.
Yeah.
Next we have Natalia's look. And Natalia, it was interesting. I said that the black light reflections were really cool with the pink and the blue. But the cut of the whole garment was a little bit weird and a little bit off. So what she created was, it looks to be just a top and a short and then a jacket over it, which is and the jacket is a little bit longer than the shorts. And it's created out of this, it looks like a coral pink and a teal. And then she has white.
Roughly the teal, it looks like it's the same, the teal is the same color that Alex used.
Yeah.
And then the coral is almost the color that Alex's pink turned into.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to describe it.
I thought she used way too much of that pinkish
color. Yeah, because that's not a good daytime look. Like, if this wasn't a blacklight challenge, this wouldn't go over well.
Right.
And the thing that was unique about it is that the top that she created was like a white meshing, and it had kind of a panel of that coral down the center. And so when it was in the blacklight, it turned out to be really cool with that white up against the coral. So in the black light, it turned orange.
Yeah, it kind of had it looked like bubble wrap type pattern to it. And so the black light really reflected with that. And I was kind of hoping, I thought that had she used more of that fabric, that this could have turned out to be something that had a great effect.
Yes, and I think to me the shorts fit her very poorly, and that kind of maybe detracted from the look. So I think there was some construction problems. It looks like she can make a really good jacket, and maybe time got away from her.
Right.
But it does look a little cartoonish, like Tim was saying. I still don't think she steered away from that.
Yeah. Next, we moved on to Robbery, and Robbery's dress was, I thought, perfectly executed. It's this kind of a charcoal gray material, and it's this kind of very frilly dress.
A lot of ruffles, yeah.
Yeah, ruffly dress, strapless. And it, like we said earlier, kind of had these fraying threads coming out of it that were like a neon orange. And when that hit the black light, it just was incredible. It looks like he may have like put the edge of all these ruffles with the UV paint. And then you can also see those orange threads really pop out, and you can kind of see them in the actual fabric themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was awesome.
It was really beautiful. This was a cocktail dress, and maybe it wasn't exactly right for daytime, but both looks were executed flawlessly. His blacklight looked like sea anemone or coral.
Yeah, reefs. I thought it was like a tropical flower of some sort.
It was really beautiful, and he got the challenge. And it may have been a happy accident that he came upon this fabric, but it looked so beautiful. And it reminded me of his first week look with those lanterns.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar sort of like floating effect. And I put that this is a top look for me.
For sure.
That was incredible. You are overflowing with talent and I admire you.
Next, we moved on to Kimber. And Kimber had some trouble throughout the day. And she created an asymmetrical dress with the floral pattern. And at the bottom was a bright pink, sort of just a color block. So it just ended with a bright pink hem. And it was one sleeve. And it just, it was an okay dress. Like, it was okay. It wasn't anything that really bowled me over.
The daytime.
Yeah.
The daytime look is very, very nice.
Yeah. But under the black light, it really didn't have any effect. The puff paint didn't stand out. The bottom fabric didn't light up at all. So she essentially looked like she would in the nighttime. There wasn't any effect.
Right. You could just kind of get a couple floating flowers, some touches of blue and right. green in there a little bit. But other than that, not a whole lot of pop in the black light.
And I thought, I wrote down that this is a bottom look because there wasn't anything for me about the design or the construction of that daytime look that was going to be enough to really stand out, considering that she kind of missed half the challenge.
Yeah. Next, we have Sarah. And Sarah had a top and a skirt. And at first, it was, you know, just another one of those, okay, nothing, not a whole lot there. Very, very plain, kind of like a lace collar. She had lace kind of at the end of the sleeves and around the ankles, as well as at the top of the boots that she was wearing.
I'm not sure if it's a lace or more of an organza. But a similar, it's a very lightweight fabric.
I've never heard that word in my life.
Organza?
Yeah.
Well, you clearly haven't been paying attention enough when I forced you to watch Say Yes to the Dress.
That's true. and then when it hits the black light, the top disappears because it's just black. It doesn't react at all. And then the white collar and
cuffs.
There you go. The cuffs at the end react. And then the skirt that she made really starts to stand out. It's kind of glittery almost. Like it has a reaction to where it seems like something is moving in there.
Yeah, for me, this was just so simple and so basic. This is a mini skirt with a blouse, and it's a sheer black with a Peter Pan collar and those cuffs, like Curtis pointed out. And there is nothing innovative about this look. I could tell it was Sarah's because this seems to be what she does.
Yep.
This is what an East Coast trust fund prep wears to a rave, was this look. And in the black light, yeah, sure had a cool effect, but again, it's still very waspy prep.
Yeah.
Next came Rick's look, and oof, boy. So I thought that, you know, maybe Rick was really going for it with this warrior top, and he had a lot of he said he was pulling from his rave days, and he had some really poor design choices. So he has this crop top. And it looks like a life jacket a little bit is what it ends up looking like. And it has reflective material over each side. And it's laced up with a neon tie up the front and the back. And then he created this really weird black pencil skirt that has these neon lace-up ties up the front and the back. So you can see her butt. And the problem is, like, why would you leave it tied in a bow with these neon strings? It was very weird. I just said it's pretty ugly. And as a design element, it's really just poor to have, like, just, you know, tied in a bow. The top could be cool with only one string color, but the fact that he used neon yellow and neon orange really just went over the top. And he put these neon strings in her hair. And it was just so much. I said he's probably on the bottom.
Yeah, I thought the top was well made. I did not like the placement of those lacing on the skirt.
Yeah.
And especially in the black light, because everything disappears essentially except for these lacings. And so you just get, like, it's almost like a weird, like, glow-in-the-dark skeleton type thing going towards you.
And he didn't think about what that would do to that skirt material when he tied those laces. It really made the skirt bunch up. So it just looked poorly constructed, and it looked poorly thought out. Like, the top and the skirt didn't go together.
Yeah.
My brain's starting to bleed.
Next, we moved on to Laurence. And Laurence had kind of like a... almost a blazer type jacket and a hot pants combination. Definitely odd. It was in an orange, and she had just kind of some white accents. So the collar of the blazer was white, the cuffs of the blazer was white, and then around the kind of just around where the legs were on the hot pant was white. I mean, I thought it looked cool, I guess. It was okay. It was unique. It just didn't do anything in the black light at all. It didn't, like, the white didn't even pop at all.
At all. The tie, she had put a white ribbon in her hair, and her shoes had white ribbon on it, and those popped more in that black light than anything on that blazer.
Right.
So I think Laurence was really lucky she had immunity from last week.
For sure.
Because this is not a day look.
Yeah. And then when the model turns around and walks away, you see the first look of the backside of this. And she has, like, this weird, like, right on the bottom of her butt.
Yeah.
This, like, another one of those white accents.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what? Why would you put that there?
That, I, like, wondered if she ran out of time. Because why would you make a hot pant with, again, it looked, again, like a vintage swimsuit.
Yeah.
It was very weird with a blazer. The blazer was very well constructed. Like, Laurence shows her ability to construct clothes and to design. But the only good thing about this outfit for me, I was like, those are really cute shoes. Like, that's all I had.
Mm-hmm.
Then Tasha's look came down the runway. And I thought this was really good. I really liked what she had. So Tasha created a tank top and a pencil skirt. So it worked for a daytime look, and she used black and neon pink. So I wasn't quite clear how she did this, but she seemed to weave or paint in the neon pink fabric into the black of the skirt.
Yeah.
And then the top had neon pink straps, and then she did a crisscross in the back. And so it kind of looked really cool in the black.
Yeah, light. I don't know if she just layered that on the skirt or how she did that. This was definitely her. I thought this was a challenge that she really could have stood out in. Mm-hmm. This is definitely her aesthetic. I really liked that skirt. Especially in the black light. It looked like they were LED lights almost.
Yeah,
it had
a
very, very cool effect with that. And then with the top, kind of similar to what we've seen before, is that in the daylight, it's just black. But when the black light showed, she used some of that UV paint and kind of gives you this aspect that you couldn't see before.
Yeah, it had a lot of dimension to it with that paint. And the more I saw this, the more I liked it. At first, I was a little hesitant, but she thought about this, and it was very well executed and well designed. So I thought it transitioned really well from the day to night look, too.
Mm-hmm. Next, we have Aaron. And Aaron created this kind of powder blue sheer dress. And there wasn't much going on up top on the dress, but on the bottom of it, she kind of made these kind of her own patterns and sewed them onto the dress to kind of just give it a little bit more than just a plain sheer dress. I wasn't that impressed with this, honestly. A sheer dress isn't a daytime look at all.
Yeah.
So she kind of missed that part of it. And yeah, there wasn't a whole lot to it other than the patterning on the bottom.
Yeah, so she used organza, and it looks like a risque 1950s housewife dress. Like, it's that same style. It's a midi length. It has a flutter sleeve. In the daytime, yes, like, you do see the accented bra of the top. And she, see, that's what I was like, oh, I don't know if this is something that really anyone would wear in the daytime. Like, she did focus on that transition. But to me, this is not a look that, even on the runway in a major fashion show, I think people would question it.
Yeah.
So then in the transition, though, it looked good in that white organza turned blue. Almost.
Yeah.
Like, it really stood out.
It was very, very cool effect.
Mm-hmm.
And the little fabric designs that she puts on the dress also kind of pop in the black light as well.
Yeah.
And I don't think that what she was going for on the top came through quite as much as I thought it would.
It's like a bikini top.
Yeah, but it's like, it's not really that risque, I suppose.
It's not the sex bomb look that she said she was going for. Like, I really, the way that they hyped it up for the previews of this episode, I really thought, like, man, she's really going for it. So for me, I just wasn't sure what to make of it. It was just so, like, Southern Belle, and I can't imagine anyone wearing that to, like, a rave or a club or out during the day. For me, it just didn't fit into the challenge.
Yeah.
Next came Brick's look, and I wrote down, I don't know what he actually did. I mean, he created a white tank top, a white sleeveless dress, about knee length. He had some architectural elements to it. But it was very shapeless, especially in the front. In the back, he seemed to have it kind of, like, gathered and pinned at a point in the middle of her back. But in the front, it's so sculpted out. Like, it kind of looks like a bit of a refrigerator.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So there, and then there was no change in the black light. Like, it glowed a little bit. Like, I think probably perhaps he used a little bit of the UV paint, but it wasn't anything. It was very forgettable.
I said this wasn't a total miss. Maybe I was putting Brick, deservedly so, on a very low pedestal, and he exceeded that. The dress, like you said, wasn't much, but it was pretty modern, I would say, just kind of giving elements without color. It's just using structure, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then when the black light hits, it just kind of, it to me, it was different than what, because it really, like you said, doesn't do much. It just kind of, there's more blue in it with the black light. And I thought it just kind of did something different than what we saw in previous people that did the exact same thing. To me, this looked like this was illuminating from within rather than like the paint, the reaction being outside. It's almost like there was a light turned on inside and that was showing, not a reaction on the outside.
Yeah.
It's like almost like it was a cloud or something like that. So I thought that the reaction was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think if he had created the architectural structure of the front of the dress better, perhaps he could have been a top look. But since it was not that well executed, it was a little like, instead of like, wow, that's amazing. So I think he could have really pushed it, but I don't know if he has the ability to do that yet.
Yeah. And then finally we had Dexter. Dexter had a jacket and a skirt, and this is white on white, all white, and a lot of fringe, very long fringe. And I thought this looked super tacky.
Yeah, it's very Dolly Parton rodeo queen.
Yeah, like...
except for the skirt, which is just a basic white pencil skirt.
Right, and so when the black light hit, I thought, you know, it had some cool effect. He puts the UV paint all over that white fringe. Mm-hmm. So that really, really stood out. And so, like, with the movement of the fringe, that definitely looks cool in the black light and kind of goes along with the raver type idea. But, like, I don't know what he was going, like, raver cowgirl?
He said he was inspired by Stevie Nicks meets something. I forget what that connection is, but I can see a little bit of the Stevie Nicks, but he shouldn't have created such a, like, denim jacket look then. Yeah. Like, it doesn't look like a leather jacket. It looks, like a cowgirl.
And, well, I guess they wouldn't have been when they were filming this, but we're after Labor Day at this point, people.
And I think another issue is he didn't think about his model, especially for the daytime, and the makeup does not help. So his model is very pale and very blonde. And for some reason, the way he has decided to have them do the makeup, she looks paler and she almost has like a blue lip, and the blue doesn't stick out on the runway. I mean, I don't know what he was really going for. So not great. I said potentially a bottom, depending on how the judging goes.
Yeah.
So what was your initial guess? Who did you have at the top?
My top was Robbery, Tasha, and Alex, with Robbery winning.
Okay.
And the bottom was Majing, Jenny, and Cornelius.
Okay.
And Majing was going home.
For my top, I had Aaron, Tasha, and Robbery. And for bottom, I had Cornelius, Majing, and Brick. And full disclosure, I may be a little slanted towards Brick, I guess. So it was hard this week. It was really hard for me. There wasn't any clear-cut winner or... there were some bottoms, for sure, but there wasn't any clear-cut. It seemed more muddled in the middle.
Yeah, and I was, like, when we first started, like, the first three or four looks that came out on the runway were all just kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, oh, boy, this is... there, everybody is not doing well with
that's
this.
That's how I felt about it, where I wasn't bowled over or overly impressed by the results. But Heidi seemed very excited by it. She thought this was a really great runway show. So maybe I missed the point and I wasn't... because I had a problem with people's day-to-night transitions.
Right. So we get our final six. And Rick, Cornelius, Aaron, Kimber, Majing, and Jenny are all asked to stay. And I was very surprised about these six. I got three of them correct.
Yeah.
But, like, with those six, I was just like, I couldn't see any of those six standing out that were so phenomenal. And then only Majing was really like a, okay, yeah, like, I know where you're staying. I know where your standing is.
And to be fair, I only guessed Aaron because I saw in the previews for this episode that she was standing on the runway, like that they were doing judging with her. Yeah, so that is a little bit cheating. So we go through the judging, and they start with Jenny. And the judges are uniformly wowed from head to toe of this look. They say it's really interesting, it's good effect, and it's fresh. Which I was surprised about. I didn't know how Nina was going to react to that plastic coat.
Right.
I didn't think she was going to have that strong of a reaction positively.
Yeah, and everybody really liked the coat. They really liked the design that she put on it, which I'll admit, those were really, really well done.
Yeah,
I will give her that. But I just didn't think the placement was that great on it.
Yeah.
Plus, absolutely nobody focused on
that
what
weird,
was underneath,
yeah,
and how
true.
That reacted and how terrible that looked.
That is a good point. Everyone seemed very focused on just the puff paint design. But yeah, that leotard vintage swimsuit thing really went by the wayside. And I was surprised about that too. That seemed like something that either or both of Heidi and Nina would have jumped on.
Right. And then kind of at the end, Jenny spends a little time tooting her own horn. Like once everybody decided, has voiced their opinion and saying that, oh yeah, this is really good. She just decides to slide in there. Oh yeah, this was like my third or fourth look, and I had to change this at like the very, very last day, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, all right, we get it. Mm-hmm. Good for you.
And she, where in the workroom, was very concerned about the fact that that puff paint seemed to be falling off. She was like, oh, I just decided to go for it. And Nina said, oh, yeah, it creates real dimension there. Mm. And she's like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, oh, no, she didn't. She wasn't seeing that.
Right.
So she got lucky, I have to say, with some aspects of it.
Yeah.
Then they talked about Kimber's look, and Heidi said, you know, this is a wearable, cute dress, but it didn't pop at all in the black light. You know, it's just okay. You know, there's the lack of effort there, and it's just fine. There was not anything that stood out as far as design or construction or meeting the challenge, so not good for Kimber.
Yeah, and there really wasn't much to say beyond that.
But she really loved it, and that was... big, because she was defending it.
Yeah, and Zach pointed out that really it just didn't pop in the black light.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we moved on to Cornelius. And with Cornelius being here, I was like, okay, bottom look.
Yep.
The judges loved this
dress. Like, uniformly loved it. Nina loved it.
Like, I didn't understand. I will admit, the element of surprise was cool. Like, you couldn't tell anything was on this dress at all. He used more color than anybody else did with that paint.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else kind of was staying within, just kind of making it go from blue to white or white to blue and just kind of accenting. He went full color. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But other than that, this was just tacky and dumb. I didn't get it.
I didn't either. I hated it. And Zach and Heidi were all like, oh, this is so now. Everyone uses emojis to communicate. And I'm like, that's going to be so dated. Like, but people.
And not only that, it's just like they're pointing out like one of the worst parts of
now
like is that people just can just send emojis and that's how they communicate.
That's why I was surprised. And it did surprise. And I'm not trying to harp on the age thing, but this is not a panel of like 20-somethings.
Right.
Like, all these people are in their 40s and late 30s.
Yeah.
And Jamie King was the guest judge. Like, she's also of that same age range.
And it's another one of those times when I think even the judges aren't judging what the entire challenge is about. Because, like we said earlier, nobody would wear that dress before in the daytime.
Yeah, I think they really got hung up on the black light aspect of it from all perspectives. I think that was their biggest focus rather than the actual transition part of it.
Right.
I will burn this place to the ground if you pick that one!
Then they talked about Rick's look, and Heidi said that this looks like a stripper.
Yeah, multiple... references to prostitutes/strippers wearing
and
this.
Rap video girls twerking,
sure,
because you can see her butt, super wrinkly. It's got that like warrior top, but I didn't automatically go there in my mind when I first saw it on the runway, but after they pointed it out, and I was like, oof,
same here. More totally. The more you look at it, it doesn't really look that great.
No, and. Nina said it's walking the line of taste, and that's bad because, like I've said before, she is the one that is checking people's taste, and that is kind of a big no-no. Like, if you don't have taste, in her mind, you have no business designing because you can't even corral something out of that. So that's really big.
Yeah. Next, we had Aaron, and again... as we've seen in previous weeks, everybody is just really blown away with what Aaron is able to do. Heidi called this a wow piece. Everybody really liked the transition that happened from daylight to blacklight.
Yeah. This was very sophisticated, fashion forward, and different. And that's what Erin has going for her, is she thinks differently. And she thinks in a way that she sees all the steps. And that's what they loved, is that she wasn't only thinking one look. And, you know, they said it's both demure and sexy. But I still cannot picture anyone actually wearing
it. And this is where I see kind of some hypocrisy from them. Because they just got done bashing Rick because his thing looks like what a stripper would wear. This is what a stripper would wear if the stripper was going for like this innocent, like daddy's girl type look. They would wear something like this because it's still risque enough. Like it's the same design as like this kind of almost poodle dress type thing.
I don't know.
And then it's see-through at the same time. Like, that's something a stripper would wear.
I don't think so. I think and that this is
because, like, Aaron, demure Aaron, enough. But Aaron said, like, she wanted to go, like, from innocent to sex bomb. A see-through dress isn't innocent at all. It's like, I wrote down, it's stripper innocent.
No, I think it's hard to explain here the line of how Rick's is just so...
I agree. I agree that Rick's was over the top.
I think it's the fabric choice. Like, I'm sorry, but no...
It's see-through.
I'm sorry, but no stripper is wearing organza. They're just not.
It's see-through. That doesn't change. Who cares what it's made from? It's see-through.
I don't look at this and I don't see stripper. I get that you can see that it is transparent at the top and you see the outline of you know, the bra of the dress. But, I mean, maybe I'm just desensitized.
We'll leave this up to the audience. Everybody, you could, if you either watch the episode and saw it, or you can go to mylifetime.com. You can see the pictures of all these looks. Go and check out this look and go and let us know what you think.
Yeah, I seriously do if you're listening, because I just don't see it. And maybe it's the subtlety of Aaron's look versus the just overt raciness of Rick's look. And maybe that's the difference. And I don't know. Maybe it's a gender perspective. I don't know.
Moving on.
So lastly, they talk about Majing's look. And everyone's like, okay, it looks fine for day. But then it looks like a crime scene disaster. And then Heidi said it looks like a hotel sheet that you're using a black light to look
right, for like the things. Investigative yeah. stories that you would see and just see how well they're actually cleaning everything.
Yes. Not good. And
she has a point.
Yeah. Well, and then those pink stripes looked like, you know, highlighter on that right. muslin dress. And Zach really pointed that out. It just didn't even look well.
Right. And Ma Jing tried to take a page out of Jenny's book. And right away he says that this was literally the last thing I could even come up with yeah. because of what happened with this paint here. I tried to salvage this as much as I could.
And he recognized that this is not something that he ever wanted to present to the judges, that with time constraints and just the nature of the show, sometimes you've got to send something out there. And all this time, I've never seen someone not put out a look. I've seen some nearly naked models, but no one's never come up with anything.
Right.
So they deliberate, they talk it over. The big debate seems to be about Kimber versus Majing for being out. There doesn't seem to be too much discussion about the winner.
Not
too
really.
Much back and forth.
Right.
And the way they're talking, I kind of guessed where they were leaning.
Yeah.
But between Kimber and Majing, it's about, you know, who really embodied this challenge. I think Jamie King was saying that Kimber just really didn't get the challenge, didn't pick the right fabric, really missed the mark. Whereas Ma Jing understood what he was supposed to be going for, but just had some disasters. So sometimes it really comes down to these like technicalities.
Right. So the deliberation is between Jenny and Aaron as to who will be the winner. We do find out that Aaron is a winner, so that gives her two out of three challenges.
Nearly three. And again,
she probably could have won that third one.
Yeah.
So that makes Jenny second. Cornelius is third. They then say that Rick is safe, so that puts him fourth. Well, not fourth, but third from last, I guess.
Yeah.
And
10th, I guess.
So then it is between Ma Jing and Kimber.
And Kimber is out, and she's pretty disappointed. And Ma Jing's pretty shocked.
I think everybody was shocked.
Yeah.
I think you could just look, just with how those two looks turned out. I don't care if Ma Jing had to throw that together at the very end. It didn't look that good anyway.
No, and the thing, at least Kimber's was wearable.
True.
You know, and that's, but you can always tell, because Heidi seems to have the override say. She is an executive producer, but she seems to have the override. If she says, meh, didn't like it, that's worse, you can guess that 9 times out of 10, the person that she's talking about is probably going home.
Right. And so I'm not sure what exactly the judges were kind of considering for their ruling here, because if this was just off of this challenge, then I'd say, sure, Ma Jing should go home.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's kind of cumulative, Ma Jing has put together some pretty good looks in the past, and Kimber has been in the bottom at least once. And probably pretty close the right. other time.
It's not supposed to be cumulative. It is supposed to be challenge by challenge.
Right.
But you can tell, particularly in the more recent seasons, it seems like they do have an anonymous runway show, which they didn't used to have, by the way.
Yeah.
So in the early seasons, they knew who was putting out each look. And on their scoring cards, they had pictures of it. So they've changed how they've done it over time. In the effort to be more anonymous and to be the challenge by challenge sort of judging. But I do think that once it gets down to it and they figure out who created each look, I think that the body of work goes into it. And that may be a human nature thing, but it could be also a entertainment thing. You know, this is obviously, something to make money. They're trying to draw viewers and advertisers. So I think that does come into play.
Right. And the drama does not end, though.
No.
Because Cornelius is heated that Natalia, he did not win. Natalia, yes, there is a quick look of when Aaron walks in. Everybody cheers except for Natalia, who doesn't even look up from playing with a pillow or something.
It was like
that.
Gabby Douglas at the Rio
right.
games.
And Cornelius, despite the fact that they're sitting in a room in which literally everybody can hear everybody, mm-hmm. does not stray from saying to Natalia that he could have made that or anybody could have made this simple dress thing.
He threw shade because Aaron's hand created pattern on the skirt of the dress was glued on, which I'm sorry, but first of all, this is a one-day challenge. You couldn't tell that it was glued on in the sense of like it wasn't falling off or was poorly constructed. I think that
also you just used paint on your dress.
Yeah,
you didn't do anything to it.
I thought a lot about this. I really think that Cornelius suffers from he has an issue with not understanding what it takes to be great. He wants to be great, and therefore he thinks he is automatically great, that he's a great designer, he knows what he's doing, he puts together good looks. He doesn't know about work ethic and getting better and seeing an entire look from sketch to finish. So for him, he's going to throw shade because he doesn't understand what it takes to be on the show and to probably really be a designer. And I'm not trying to put him down. I think a lot of it, I hate to go back to the age thing because I do hate when people pull that card, but he did just graduate from design school. I think he has a little bit of that entitled mentality to him. And I, again, perhaps. I hate that. I hate that put everyone in a millennial box and say they're the worst people ever, but I think that he represents probably the worst elements of what people attribute to millennials.
Mm-hmm. So, power rankings time. Who do you have as your number five?
For number five, I have Tasha. I think that there's becoming a clear separation in this competition between people that can construct cool, innovative designs and kind of everybody else. And I think Tasha is the start of that separation. Who do you have?
I started to do my power rankings as kind of like a college basketball, college sports top 25 poll.
What do you mean?
Well, Ma Jing was in there, took a big time loss this week, getting in that bottom three and almost losing.
Right. Okay.
He's out. Laurence is in at number five.
Okay. I have Laurence at number four for similar reasons. Like, she can construct clothes. Sometimes her design is lacking. So her construction will carry her at least a couple more weeks.
Right. At number four, I have Tasha. Tasha showed me some things this week.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of my favorites at the very beginning. Last week, she kind of fell off a little bit. This week, she really came through strong.
Okay. Who do you have at three?
Three, I have Alex. I think Alex, it's very clear, still very clear that he knows what he's doing. He has a very, very strong designs. This week wasn't as great as his previous weeks, but still did very, very well.
I also have Alex at number three. He'll get in there with some wins eventually. Just he needs to have the right challenge and a really strong execution and something to wow the judges. I look for him to be strong with an evening wear challenge, I think.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. For my number two, I have Robbery. I really think he was robbed this week. I think
Seriously.
That was just an amazing design and execution and just a great look. This guy is a dark horse in that he has only been in the final judging once, but he is good. He really is. So he's going to get in there towards the end.
And even in that final judging came with mixed reviews.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how he has not even come close.
I think he's not translating to the judges in the sense that his designs aren't necessarily innovative. They're very pretty, but these are simple strapless cocktail dresses. So maybe he needs the right challenge to sort of stand out. But I think thinking in the bigger picture, when they get to Fashion Week and creating a collection, he can probably put together a pretty good collection.
Right.
So I look for him to be a bit of a dark horse
yeah.
in that sense.
And I have Robbery at number two as well.
Oh, man. We are very similar on this.
So obviously still number one is Erin. She's won two out of the three challenges, 2.5. Really?
Yeah.
I think she was the winner in the second challenge. I think that she very clearly is one of the best designers. Maybe not the best. I thought she was a little down this week, but the execution wasn't quite there. But like I said earlier, the seeing past the challenge mm-hmm. and seeing this challenge completely differently than everybody else did, that says a lot for her talent right there.
Right. Erin is like the Nebraska volleyball team this season. She is going to be number one until someone can prove otherwise.
Or Alabama football.
No one cares.
If you're, you know, a little more.
If you want to be mainstream.
If you're a little more in tune with the mainstream sports.
Whatever. Lame. Anyways. She's on top until someone can herself essentially knocks her down in that she's in the bottom. And I like what she said in the beginning. She's going to stay on course because, you know, with all these shows, if you're an early winner, you can get cocky and not take too many chances, but take unnecessary risks and make dumb decisions, essentially.
Right.
So, can I make another prediction,
though? Hit me with it.
I think that next week we're going to lose some dead weight in either Sarah or Brick. Because Sarah's not putting anything forth, and Brick is just hanging on by a thread.
Right.
So
I mean, with this many people in Sarah's case, it's not terrible to blend.
No, and that's the thing. Until we get to about maybe 8 people, you can make it through with safe designs, with well-constructed, pretty easy-breezy stuff, nothing too out of the box. But at that point, you're going to get knocked down. So, you know, you never know.
Yep. So that's our show.
Yeah. Go look at the pictures of Aaron and Rick and tweet or Facebook at Curtis. I don't have any of that stuff, but contact him.
Yeah, I'll try and put it in the show description here today. All right. So thanks for joining us again, and come back next week.
See ya.
Auf Wiedersehen.